Alrighty. James chapter 1. James, one of my favorite books in all of the scriptures. I love how practical it is. I told our folks back home, I said if James was from the United States, he'd be from the state of Missouri. James doesn't want to see your, he don't want to hear about your faith, he wants to see it. Show me your faith by your works. Well, we'll read starting in 17, and we'll go to 25, and what we'll really be speaking of is briefly verse 21 and then following. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. And I'm so glad that it was by his will, because if it was by mine, it would have never happened. But he made me willing in the day of his power, as he did with you, my beloved brethren. Born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, new creations in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, if any boy or girl be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They are new. They have a new nature. They have a new heart. They have new wants. They have a new love. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, that's good counsel for any time. I think the context of where James is at, he's talking about receiving the word of God. He's talking about how we receive the word, and it kind of spills over into verse 21. But he says, let us be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's not a good reaction to hearing the truth of God's word. And yet sometimes I've experienced where people will get angry when they hear what the word is saying. For the wrath of man does not work or produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside, cast off all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And this, beloved, is how we are to receive the word of God, with meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted or the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I love what Paul said to the Thessalonian believers. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you, Thessalonian believers, received the word of God, and this is how I want to receive it, you received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively or effectually works also in us that believe. It's the powerful word of God. Beloved, we need to be like those that were with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 when they called for Peter. And Cornelius sat them all down in the room, and it was Acts chapter 10, 33. And Cornelius said, now we are all here and we're ready to hear everything that God has commanded you. Tell us, we want to hear. They sat with meekness. Beloved, we need to be like Mary in the house of Martha when Martha was cumbered about much serving. I don't want to talk bad about Martha. I believe Martha was a precious believer. But Mary was taking part in that which was most needful. She sat at the feet of Christ. I kind of picture her being in there trying to take the food out of the oven, and all of a sudden Christ started teaching, and she put the spoon down and walked over there, and she sat down, and she hung upon every word. Beloved, we need to be like Mary. We need to be like Cornelius's people. And as James says, we need to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And that's really the subject tonight, to receive the word and then to be doers of the word. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You need to receive it, you need to hear it, and you need to do it. Do the word. Deceiving your own selves if you are a hearer and not a doer. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of it, he is like unto someone or a man observing his natural face in a mirror. We all know what that is, don't we? For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was, kind of forgets what he saw in the mirror. James is likening the mirror on the wall physically to the mirror of the word spiritually. We look into the word of God, beloved, and we are to ask ourselves questions when we go into the word of God. And we are to say, is this me, Lord? Am I doing this or am I not doing this, Father? Am I obedient to your word? Is this who I am? And we should have a desire to be what the word says. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Luke chapter 6. So he said, there's those that look into the mirror of the word and forget. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so, beloved, the only way to receive the word of God is with meekness, with humility, to receive it as the word of God, to receive it into the tender heart and into good ground. Listen, the good seed of the four grounds in Matthew 13, there was one ground that received the seed that brought forth fruit. But the two before that, they did receive the seed for a little while. And then in the stony ground, it was scorched by the heat. Among the thorns, it was choked by those weeds that grew up around it. Beloved, our hearts need to be tender. I think at times we have some stones in our heart. If our hearts are callous, and beloved, we need to have tender hearts to receive the word of God with meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But I'm already saved, you say. I'm already a Christian. Well, God saves you supernaturally. He took the word, he used it effectually, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You received faith by the hearing of God's word. And yes, if you're in Christ, you're every bit saved. But none of us are finally saved. Many view salvation as a day in the past when God saved them, but beloved, every new day in your Christian life, you are in need. You are in need, beloved, to be kept by God, to keep you, and listen, to continue to save you. I am in continual need of faith. My faith yesterday is no good anymore. Well, my faith yesterday is, I'm glad I had it there, but I need faith in Christ today. This moment, I need faith. I need to wake up and believe Christ every single day of my Christian life. So many will go back, yes, I believed way back then, and I nailed a stake in the ground, and I know that that tells me I'm saved. But what are you doing today? What are you doing today? So we are not only people who have believed Christ, we are to be a people that are believing Christ every single day of our lives. So yes, you don't believe Christ yesterday, you must believe Christ now and today. So the scriptures teach us we are to grow in grace and in knowledge. We are to continually be growing in grace and in knowledge and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthened in our minds. We are to continually be being renewed and transformed in our minds. It's to be a continual thing. It's in the present active imperative. It's something that we continue to do. It's something that we are continually becoming. We are being conformed to the image of Christ, renewed in the spirit of our minds. So we don't just receive the word with meekness when God saves us, but we continue to receive it with meekness until the day, beloved, when we are finally saved. First Peter, I'll just read that one verse to you. I won't read the whole passage, but it comes to mind. 1 Peter 1:9. Peter says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He talks about when we are brought into glory, when faith ceases, and now we see God as he is. If you want to see, again, a picture of what receiving the word looks like, again, go to Cornelius, go to Mary. And beloved, I'll tell you, from seeing many of your faces, I've seen the receiving of God's word with meekness. So this is where your faith is put to work now in the next passage. We are to receive the word, we're to hear the word, we're to believe the word. And listen, God gives us much knowledge. We need to be careful because knowledge will puff up. But beloved, we need to receive the word with meekness. We need to receive it. We need to believe it. We need to believe it for ourselves. We need to be Bereans. Don't take what your preachers say. Don't take what I say and say, well, yes, that's what I believe. Go home and study it for yourself. You need to go home and own it for yourself. Embrace the truth of God's word for yourself. And then once you do, beloved, we need to do what we believe. We need to be doers of the word. And that's where James starts out here. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just do the word. I don't want to live the Christian life as someone that's doing spiritual chores where I'm just drudging through the Christian life. No, beloved, I want to live an active and lively. We have lively faith. Jesus has given us lively faith. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We love to obey God's word. I remember Jacob when he served for those years for Leah, and then he served again for Rachel. And when he served for Rachel, the years were like nothing because he loved her so much. So it was nothing for him to serve for those years for Rachel. Beloved, that's our service for Christ ought to be like that. We ought to love to serve Christ. Beloved, he's our King. He's our God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the lover of my soul. He is that one who is altogether lovely. And so, beloved, that's who we are to worship. So we don't do the word just for the sake of doing in compliance or to just heartlessly fill a religious square in our life. And that's why it's so important that the word be engrafted and implanted. The word of God is essential, beloved. We must have a steady diet and intake of the word of God. Listen, you go out into the world and you intake the things of the world and it starts to alter your behavior. If you start to take in too much of what's happening out there, it starts to affect you. I think Greg and I were talking about that. You start watching the news a little bit and you start getting angry and you start thinking wrong. You start getting the wrong attitude. And listen, I want to be a good citizen. I want to be informed on things, but I want to keep that at a safe place and a level to where it doesn't affect me in my spirit. And so, beloved, we want to think upon the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Speaking and admonishing one to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Job said, I have esteemed the words of your mouth, Lord, more than my necessary food. Jesus, in the temptation, he told the wicked one, man doesn't live by that bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Beloved, that is our life. It gives us life. It gives us vitality, spiritual vitality, and that's what we need. And so, beloved, it needs to be engrafted, implanted into your heart. But if you refuse to receive the word with meekness, then you will have difficulty in humble submission to Christ. Listen, the last thing any of us, I think, should want or desire is to live the Christian life mechanically and heartlessly, doing outward things, just being compliant. And not doing because we love Christ. Jesus said, John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my word. If you love me, keep my word. Let me just read verses 21. John 14:21 comes to mind. So Jesus said in 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my word. And then in verse 21 of the same chapter, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them. He knows them, he's cultivated them in his heart, and he keeps them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's huge, brethren. Listen, I'm a strong advocate of scripture memorization. I love to memorize the scripture. Sometimes I tell our people, I said, what do you have to go on if you don't have the word of God? Can you live the Christian life with what you have written on your heart? One day we may have to live like that. We may have to hide our Bibles. But beloved, we need to have the word on our hearts. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, that is Judas, not Iscariot. He says, if any man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me, he does not keep my words. It doesn't say he does not know my words. He said he doesn't keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If we would be meek and humble doers of the word, my friends, we must first be continually willing. As James says in verse 21, back to James, put away the sin that would so easily beset you. James, back to James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Listen, when we humbly and obediently put away our sins, we are doing the word. That's one aspect of doing the word. But how will we know our sins and our wickedness, beloved, if we're not hearing and receiving the word with meekness? Beloved, that's what we need. We need to. It's like the discovery phase in a trial. In the beginning of a court trial, there's the discovery phase where they're discovering all of the facts about the case. And every time we go into the Word of God and we look into the mirror of God's Word, it needs to be a discovery phase for us. We need to be being discovered by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, beloved, when we look into that perfect law of liberty. James says, be doers of the Word, not hearers. And if you're a hearer and not a doer, he says, you're deceived, self-deceived. Listen, there's a lot of deception out there in the world, and the wicked one is around. He's the cause of much of it. But listen, the worst kind of deception that there is when you are deceived by yourself, when you're self-deceived. Listen, the Bible says that of the wicked one, he says, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. And so James says, listen, you who profess faith in Christ, he says, if you're a hearer of the word, but you're not a doer of the word, you're self-deceived. Down to verse 26, just listen, he says, if any among you thinks he is religious, but he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Beloved, I don't want to have a useless religion. Beloved, we are only deceiving ourselves if we think to live the Christian life by only being hearers of the word. We go, we hear, and we go back to the world, and we don't do the things that we say. Matthew 7, turn there. We, in fellowship today, one of the brothers here went over, we read this passage. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. The words of the Lord Jesus. It's the close of the Sermon on the Mount, near the close of it. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, there's an and, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded upon Christ. It was founded upon a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them He will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Luke 6:46, I want to read that one too. It's a little different. Luke 6 and verse 46. I think I quoted this a moment earlier, but I'll read it again. Verse 46. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And he goes on to say, he is a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. I love Psalm 37. Though a just man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Beloved, we're founded upon a rock, rooted and built up upon him. Verse 49, he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. 1 John 2:29, the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 29. The Apostle John writes here, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. James says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Your salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Listen, I believe with all my heart that when God saves a sinner, it will become quite spiritually natural for them to do good works, to do the things that Jesus has commanded. So now we look into that spiritual mirror of the Word. James likens the Word to a spiritual mirror. I don't know if they have a mirror in here. How often in the day, think about that, do you look in the mirror? You know, we go in our restrooms and we all have mirrors. We have our bedrooms and we have dressers with big mirrors on them. And we look in the mirror. Men, when we shave, we look, make sure we don't cut ourselves. Sometimes we see a blemish on our face. We look in the mirror. And you ever notice what you kind of do when you get to the mirror? You ever do this? You go, like the mirror's right here, and you go. Got like a pimple or something. I mean, you get close. I mean, you look into the mirror and you get close. That's what you do. Or you have something in your teeth and you want to get it out. Well, James's point here is when you see something on your face and your teeth, you see something in your eye that needs to be tended to, what do you do? I mean, who goes to the mirror and sees a big blemish on his face and looks at it and just leaves? You don't do that. You fix it. I mean, you fix what you saw. To be a hearer of the Word and not a doer of it is like looking into the spiritual mirror of the Word. And listen, when we read the Word of God, beloved, we're looking into the perfect law of liberty. We're looking into the law of Christ. We're looking into God's Word. And he's teaching us. And it's like a mirror. And he's telling us about ourselves. He's teaching us about ourselves. So to be a hearer of the Word and not a doer is like looking into the mirror, the spiritual mirror of the Word, seeing yourself and perhaps a besetting sin, some wickedness that has risen up in the light of God's Word, but then walking away from that spiritual mirror and doing nothing about what you saw and that needs fixing. It's like seeing something, reading something in the Word where God is speaking to you about something in your life, and you just walk away from it. Listen, we always do business with the physical mirror on the wall, but we need to do business with the law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. And listen, we need to be looking often into the mirror. You know, I thought, how often do I look into a mirror? I tested myself, and sometimes we look in the mirror too much. We look at ourselves. Beloved, we need to look into the mirror of God's Word. We need to be receiving with meekness what it says. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, that you might be conformed to the image of Christ. Beloved, we need to be looking into the mirror of the Word. Am I being transformed? Am I being renovated in the spirit of my mind? Am I being conformed to the image of Christ? Am I being transformed? Am I living naturally and worldly instead of spiritually and pleasing to God? Am I walking by faith or am I walking by sight? Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that He is and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Listen, don't let it be, child of God, that when you gather with the saints to hear God's Word or you read the Word of God in your personal devotions, that you look into the perfect law of liberty and go your way and do nothing about what you saw or heard and what God showed you about yourself in the mirror of God's Word. Those words have been resonating in my mind for a couple of weeks now. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Let me hear what the Word is saying. When we read the Word of God, beloved, even in silence, we're hearing it in our minds. And so finally, the blessing to those who hear the Word. Back to James 1 and verse 25. James 1 and verse 25. So just to review a little bit, if anyone is a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer, he is like someone observing his natural face in a mirror and observing himself and going away and immediately forgetting what kind of man he was, forgetting what he saw. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, continues to believe it, continues to obey it, continues to strive to do what the Master has commanded, not as a chore, not as a heartless duty, not as a fill a square, because I want to do what John 14:15 says. If I love Christ, I'm going to do what He says. And listen, if there's something in my heart that has a problem with that, then there's something wrong in my heart. But listen, beloved, our service for Christ ought to be a loving service, a desired service, a service that we want to do for Him. And so, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, not a forgetful hearer. Beloved, listen, when we come to the preaching of the Word, when we open up our Bibles and our Bible devotions, we need to give God our undivided attention. 1 Corinthians 1:35 or 7:35 has a phrase there, and it says that we might attend upon the Lord without distraction. Beloved, I want God to have my undivided attention. You know, sometimes I think, you ever talk to someone and, you know, you're talking to them and you're trying to make eye contact with them? And you're talking with them, and they go, and they're kind of looking around, and you kind of think you don't have their attention, and you don't. And they're not really listening to you. And something I'm trying, because I've asked the Lord to make me a good listener to you. If you're talking to me, you deserve my undivided attention. If you're talking to me and you're sharing something with me, you deserve for me to listen to you, to listen to what you're saying. And beloved, when we read the Word of God, God's speaking to us. That's what we believe, right? We believe that God is going to speak to us through His Word. And think about if we're reading, if we're in the Word of God, devoting ourselves to the Word of God, but our thoughts are like, you know, it's like we're reading it and we're filling our square and we're going to get up and we're going to go and we're going to be a forgetful hearer. How often? Listen, that's very convicting to me. There ought to never be a time when we open the precious Word of God and walk away without being impacted. God ought to speak to us. Listen, I've told some folks, you know, sometimes they feel like I got to get my four chapters in. I got to just get it all done and shut it and get up and go. Look, there's times, beloved, when I get to a passage where I'm going through a book and God stops me at the first verse and blesses my soul. And you know what? That's enough. Amen. And to be spoken to by God. Listen, we ought to expect that from God. We ought to desire it from God. And listen, we're getting ready to eat, right? If you come in here and you're full, and they say, hey, time to eat? No, I'm full. I don't want to eat. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And so, beloved, that's how we need to come. We need to come hungry. Hungry to the Word, thirsty for the Word, ready to eat the Word, beloved. I pray that you would. And when we come like that, it gets engrafted. And we need to take it and think about it, cultivate it, like that good ground, like you drop a seed in. We need to push it down, make sure it's in there so that it'll bring forth fruit in our lives. And beloved, when we read it like that, when we study it like that, and we embrace it like that, we own it like that, it's God's word, and we receive it as God's word because we highly esteem God, and we praise him, and he deserves to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be listened to and to be heard. I call him Lord. I want to do what he says. I want to do what he says with heart. And so James says, when you receive it the right way and you're not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man, this one shall be blessed in his deed, beloved, looking. Listen, you might say, well, what is the perfect law of liberty? I don't believe it's the law of Moses, for that would only bind and burden us and put us under the heavy yoke that no one could ever carry. That's not what it is. I believe it's the gospel and the word of God's truth by which we continue to be liberated and freed from our wickedness and our sins, and we continue to be saved until that day when we are finally saved and taken up into the presence of God. Listen, this freedom and liberty from this world, from the deception of the wicked one, the accuser of the brethren, this freedom that we have in Christ, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This freedom and liberty are most prominent in our lives when we are looking often into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of the Word, hearing it, receiving it, submitting to it, believing it, and heartily doing it, doing what God says, doing his commands. Colossians 3, I'll share a few more verses with you and I'll be done. Beloved, oh, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. I love this passage. A good brother of mine, I think, no, it's not that verse. He named his company from a passage in Colossians, and I thought it was that one. Yes, his company is called 3:23. That's what it's called. You look on, it's 323. That's the name of his. He's a contractor. Or he goes around and he's a handyman. But the name of his company, if you call him up, he'll say 323. And it's Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Listen, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, and this is the power part, for you serve the Lord Christ. I'm servant of Christ. Serve Christ. Be a doer of the word where you work. Be a doer of the word in your home. Be a doer of the word out in the world. Why? Because you're not serving the world. You're serving Christ. You serve the Lord Christ in whatever your occupation might be. Psalm 119. It's my psalm right now. I try and read a psalm a day, but I'm taking multiple days for that one. The psalmist here writes, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. They walk according to the word of God. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies." They don't just hear him, they seek him with the whole heart. And that's part of receiving the word wholeheartedly. Beloved, I want to have a whole heart. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. And beloved, I pray, if I ask God if I can do that, then I know that I'll keep the second great commandment and to love my neighbor as myself. He says in verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Look at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Beloved, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. But the secret component to doing with love for Christ is receiving the word with meekness and humility. Receiving the word because you love the eternal word. You love the living word. You love the Christ. And so you want to do what he says. And when you call him Lord, you truly call him Lord. There are many out there that call Jesus Lord. In that passage in Matthew, he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And they did works too. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That's what they were doing. That's not what we do. God has made us new. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from the bondage and the snare of the devil, the deceptions of the wicked one. He saved us from the wrath of Almighty God. And he saved us, beloved, from eternal damnation. We have so much to thank our Father and our God for. We have so much to thank him for. Let us receive the word of God with meekness. Every time we open it up, every time we read it, let us receive it with meekness. Let it be engrafted in our hearts. And then, beloved, we'll be the right kind of doers of the word. We're not doing the word to be saved. We're doing the word because we're saved. We're doing the word because we want to do the word because we love Christ. Amen. Let's pray with me as we dismiss. Oh God, thank you. Thank you so much for our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your great salvation, oh God. Thank you for shedding abroad your love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Father, I thank you so much for this gathering of your people, Father. I believe it is sending up a sweet aroma into the heavens. Oh God, I pray now that you would continue to bless, Father, our fellowship. Bless us in our thoughts, in our minds. Oh God, help us to continue to converse about you. Oh God, in Malachi, you heard the saints conversing, and a book of remembrance was written, Father. And you love when your people speak of you. Oh God, bend the heavens and hear your servants that are poor and needy. Help us, Heavenly Father. And as we fellowship now, as we eat, Father, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And we ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.